So, today we are in the book of John, chapter 15. There are two separate readings. First, it will be 15, 26 to 27. Then we'll go to chapter 16, verses 5 through 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong, to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This ends the reading.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, happy Pentecost. We've said that once or twice already this morning. So glad to see a number of you sharing in wearing red. If somebody close to you is not wearing red, you're allowed to pinch them. No, don't do that. Yeah, keep your hands to yourself, John. So, no, it's not St. Patrick's Day. But if you have your Bible still open from John, chapters 15 and 16, we'll be looking at that just for a little bit. But first, before we get there, I want to put in one more scripture reading today. We're going to go to the book of Ezekiel, and so you might want to turn there, and then we'll be turning back to John's Gospel. But in Ezekiel chapter 37, we hear a very important passage describing some of the work of the Holy Spirit in a very unusual graphic kind of way. It's a passage that many of us are familiar with, and there's even songs written about it and this kind of thing. But let me start to read for you, and if you're there, you can follow along in Ezekiel 37, starting at the very first verse. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. Ah, the victorious life of a child of God, victorious in Jesus Christ. You know, that's a term that we use sometimes that Christians will kind of throw out there in different kinds of conversations, victorious living and this kind of thing. It's one of those terms that perhaps we throw out there, not always explaining or unpacking what we mean. And maybe we don't explain what we mean because we're not quite sure what we mean when we talk about living the victorious life in Christ. We have a feel for it, but not necessarily a grasp of it. See, for a lot of people, the idea of the victorious Christian life should mean a life that is unafraid of anything, a life that is completely self-assured, a person who is so amazingly, perfectly poised, regardless of what else is going on, no matter what happens, all because they know that God is with them, that God is on their side. Now, I really like that idea. That's the idea of a victorious Christian life that I can go for, at least in theory. I mean, I want to live the victorious Christian life. I really do. I mean, how many of you want to be victorious in life? Don't we all? Maybe not. Nobody's raising their hands. I don't know. You know, but maybe you're like me. Maybe you want to be one of those super Christians whom others look up to. To have a faith that never wavers, who always knows just the right thing to say. I want to be like Peter on Pentecost Sunday. You read about that event in the book of Acts in chapter 2. Peter on Pentecost Sunday preaches one sermon, and there are 3,000 converts to Christianity. How fantastic is this? I want to be one who can speak in the tongues of angels and ooze spirituality out of every pore of my being. I want to be a Christian that God can be proud of. The kind of Christian that a non-Christian might look at and say, wow, right? Wow, being a Christian, if that's what it is, that is awesome. I want to be a Christian just like him. But is that really what the victorious Christian life looks like? Because if it is, I have to be honest with you and with myself too, I'm never going to make it. I'm just not. I think my own faith life is much more like the apostles in the Bible who are often described as habitually filled with fear, with doubt, with hesitation. Or like the prophet Ezekiel that I was just reading to you about. Ezekiel looking around his world and seeing dryness and death. And the wreckages of life, don't we see that too? Embattled families and the carnage of yet another school shooting on top of a list of other kinds of bad news. Racial strife, natural disasters, terrorism, hatred. And I see Christian churches sometimes struggling with what to do and sometimes they're tempted to go too far and throw out the Word of God even, in search of that porridge of popularity. And not only that, but I see my own struggle with sin, which so often gets the better of me. And I can't seem to overcome it, no matter how hard I try. So living victoriously, or the victorious Christian life, seems like a myth, a fairy tale. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. What about you? How victorious do you feel? Or are you just as likely, perhaps sometimes even more likely, to feel tired, weak, struggling, doubting. If that's the case, then today, Pentecost is for you. Pentecost is here to set the record straight, to teach us all the truth about what it actually means to live the victorious Christian life, what it really looks like. And then best of all, not just to show you what it looks like, but then to give it to you as God's great blessing. Notice I say give to you. It's not something that you achieve. It's not a 10-step process that you have to master or anything like that. The victory is already won. I hope you realize that, because that's what we've been celebrating during this season of Easter that we just got done with, right? It's what Easter is about, Jesus' death and resurrection. That is our victory over sin and over death and over the devil. So Pentecost is not about putting pressure on you to hurry up already and get your spiritual act together. No, Pentecost is about the Holy Spirit taking, as we just read in the Gospel of John, taking from what belongs to no one but Jesus himself and giving it to you. It's about the continuation of Easter in our lives now and until the day we go to heaven. So let's get back to that reading in John. Let's get back to where this starts for us today. That reading from John in chapters 15, 16 in that area, that's just before the resurrection, right? It's just before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. He's just hours away from those events. And Jesus tells them what they can expect with all that's going to happen now. He tells them that they can expect that once he's dead and risen and ascended, he can tell them that something special will happen. He's talking about Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit will come. And he tells them what a little bit of what it's going to be like and why it's going to happen. And he tells them that when he sends the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. This is John 15, 26. When he comes, he will testify about me. That's Jesus. And then it goes on in chapter 16, verse 8. And he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. See, the Holy Spirit, Jesus describes it right here as there's a two-pronged kind of goal. One goal, one work of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin. But on the other side, the other side of the coin is to show us Jesus, his forgiveness and our salvation, right? Because the two go together. Those two go together. This convicting that the Holy Spirit does drives us to the cross. He doesn't leave us out there without hope, but in fact gives us all hope, because he drives us to the cross and shows us the truth about our life-robbing sin, but he also shows us the truth about the life-restoring righteousness of Jesus Christ. So convict us of sin, but also to testify of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit bears witness to the fact that the victory that I can tell that I'm not winning has been won for me by Jesus on the cross once and for all. It is finished, just as he said. And that victory I do live because God is the one who lives in me by grace. So if you're tracking with me, if you're following this, you're starting to see what Jesus means here. It's not that the victorious Christian life is a myth. It's not a myth. It just looks different. It looks different than many people expect, because it doesn't look like or feel like or seem like sunshine and lollipops and cotton candy. It looks like the cross, the old rugged cross, the blood-stained, sin-saturated cross. But Having received the benefits of the cross, we then live them. Live them out in the world. Please, you have to understand the victorious Christian life is not about living above the problems of life, as though Christians somehow are given this ability to never have any pain or never experience any problems, to float above all those things. No. Our victory in Jesus is live in the midst of pain and of problems, just like Jesus came into our midst and gave life to all who were broken by the things that we experience in the world, who are chewed up by sin, who are spit out by Satan, because that's the only care that he has for you. Jesus came and planted his cross, his death-dealing cross, in the midst of our lives, dying for us, so that we could rise with him to new life. A new life, not with our heads in the clouds, but with our feet firmly planted on earth, lived out for everyone to see, the cross-shaped life of faith that he gives us to act on. A cross-shaped life of faith means that we are victorious not when we stop sinning, which is impossible this side of heaven anyway, but we're victorious when we admit our sins with sincere repentance. In the very same moment, receive the forgiveness and victory that Jesus won, and which he alone can give. You know, something like what we've been seeing in the news in recent days. You know, some of us were a little bit troubled with the romaine lettuce. You know, you couldn't get anywhere. They had to be recalled and those things. Or maybe a better example, the year or two ago when the recall was on the airbags for the cars. At first, the company that made those airbags didn't think there was anything they needed to do. They didn't really think it was their problem. It wasn't until they admitted, yes, they held responsibility for it and started the recalls that some of us had to go through, that changes were made, that improvements could come about. And my point is that when we do that, when we take responsibility for our sins, when we admit that, yes, we're accountable. Yes, we've added to the problem. That's when things get resolved. That's when we hear those wonderful words coming from God. I forgive you all of your sins. And in that moment, once again, the Holy Spirit takes the complete atonement and forgiveness that was won by Jesus, and he gives it to you. It's yours, right? It's what Jesus said. It's exactly what Jesus said would happen, as you heard in the reading today from John 16 and verse 14. The Spirit will bring glory to me, Jesus, by taking from what is mine and what belongs to Jesus, our forgiveness. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. This is what Pentecost is about. So being victorious is not about when we grow up in our faith so much that now we kind of stop needing to rely on Jesus as much as we used to. You know, well, I had Jesus yesterday, and so I got what I needed. Now I'm moving on. No, we're victorious when we rely on him more and more and more every day. Every day remembering our baptism, every day remembering who we are as children of God, every day representing him to the world around us, every day dying and rising with Christ, every day receiving his life and cross-bought salvation, not growing up and then growing away from him, but growing more and more into him. This is what Pentecost is about. We are victorious not when our faith is the marvel of others, but when we are so unmarvelous that we who are weak in faith take refuge in our Savior who gives and strengthens faith. We are never truly strong of ourselves, but only strong when we take refuge in him who does have all strength. We are made strong when we come crawling on our hands and knees back to the cross and back to the table where he prepares a meal for us in the presence of our enemies. The body and blood of Jesus on the cross, on the altar, the same thing given and shed for you. And that's not all. This victory of Jesus Christ given to you also then bears fruit in your life. Pentecost means that your victory is in Jesus just naturally results in some of those things that we have right there on that banner, for example. Enjoy people. Do good with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Walk together. Those are the natural fruits that come out of what the Holy Spirit does. Because listen to what Jesus says in our reading today again. This is John 15, verse 27. You also will testify, Jesus says, because you have been with me from the beginning. We testify with our actions, and if necessary, even with words. And so as the disciples were soon to learn, when they faced persecution and opposition, you are victorious not when your life is problem-free, but when by the grace of God, you forgive others like Jesus forgives, forgiving those who anger and annoy you, even though you're pretty sure they kind of don't deserve it. That's victory in Jesus. You are victorious not when you have everything that you need, but when you use everything that you have, everything that you are, to give glory to God, to serve others, to be sure that they have what they need. You are victorious not when others look up to you, but when you are down in the muck and in the mire, in the blood and carnage, in the sin and wreckage of life, bringing the good news into a world that desperately is in need of some true hope, a world filled with, well, what did Ezekiel see? Dry, dying lives. When you look around, do you, like Ezekiel, do you see dry bones? Are there times when your own faith feels drier than you want it to be, and you cry out, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation? I'm not sure what happened. We look around us in our culture and we see things. We hear of, again, yet another school shooting at the top of a whole list of bad news, and it takes the wind right out of our sails sometimes. It's so depressing. Maybe some of us look around at church, and so to some it feels like dry bones, not as many people, not the strong programs. It was the same thing for Ezekiel. Thousands of years ago, it was the same thing. When Ezekiel looked at that valley of bones, what did he see? He saw death. Everything was dead. Just like we do when we look at a sinful, fallen world. But not God. God doesn't see death. God sees life waiting to happen. And as Ezekiel could tell you, when the Spirit comes, life happens. You can't stop it. The life of our Savior who came into the world and hung on the cross. When he hung on the cross, Jesus was in that moment himself, not much more than a bag of bones. But then he came out of the valley of the shadow of death, came out of the tomb, and now gives that life to you through the Holy Spirit. This is what Pentecost is about. Yes, the Holy Spirit convicts us. He convicts us of sin, but he doesn't stop there. He shows us Jesus. It's like Jesus told his own disciples, it's for your good that I'm going away. Because when he goes, he sends the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, real life, the victorious life. No, you might not look it. You might not feel it. You might not think it. But I promise you that today, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit reveals once again the truth about who you are by the grace of God, and what we are, victorious in Jesus Christ through his death and his resurrection. Let's pray. Lord God, holy and almighty, like Ezekiel, there are times we go through valleys of despair, unable to see anything except dry bones. But where we see dry bones, you see life waiting to happen with the sending of your Spirit. And your Holy Spirit is working among us here today. May we not ever be found resisting the Holy Spirit, but allowing him to do exactly what Jesus promised, to convict us of sin, but also to testify with the pure power of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the life of the world. And so testify, Holy Spirit. Testify by the power of God's word. Testify to us through the body and blood of Jesus, made personal to each one of us in his Holy Supper. And after you have testified, may we go from here to testify as well. And to you, Lord, be all the glory and power and majesty now and forever. Amen.